Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. For those of you who have heard this show over a long period of time, you might remember a few years ago, I had the pleasure of interviewing one of the great heroes of the disability community, a man named Ben Lindquist. Today's episode is a memorial tribute to him, featuring some of the men and women he worked alongside at Disability Rights Promotion International. So, for the first segment of our show, we'll be chatting with Dag Wakini, Paula Pinto, Rados Karavica, and Paula Hearn from DRPI. So, what can you tell me about Ben Lindquist as a man?
You want to start?
Yeah, that's fine. I can start.
Okay.
So, good morning to you. It's almost evening here in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. I am Dagnaccio Wakini. You can call me Dag Cam, if that's easier to pronounce, D-A-G. You know, for me, having been born and raised in... can you hear me, by the way?
Yes.
Okay, good. So, you know, for me, having been born and raised in one of the poorest nations on earth, Ethiopia, as a polio survivor myself, I've always been keenly interested and immersed in disability studies. And I remember vividly that back in my college years, a decade or so ago, here at the Addis Ababa University School of Law, which, by the way, in those days was nowhere near disability friendly. Among the factors that would keep me swim against the tide of disability exclusion was reading about what the likes of Ben Lindquist did in not only fighting against the formidable status quo of ignorance about disability on the international arena, but also in changing the very course, the content of the socio-political discourse on disability across the globe. I joined DRPI, which, as you know, is one of the many important initiatives that Ben Lindquist initiated in 2014, in March of 2014, if I remember correctly. And I vividly remember that one of the very first people that I had a chance to talk to when I came on board with DRPI was Ben himself. He reached out to me on Skype to sort of give me an orientation of the specifics of this project. And I must say that the one thing that I will never forget is his humbleness, or should I say graceful humbleness. Here is a person who has done a lot, almost single-handedly, to change the disability discourse, not just in his country, but around the world. But then when he explains something to you, when you talk to him, you realize his graceful humbleness. So I had read about Ben for a long time, even before joining the RPI. But after coming on board with this incredible team that he and his longtime friend, Professor Marcia Ryu of York University put together, I realized what a powerful, indescribably powerful this person has been to me personally, because I'm part of the disability movement, and to Africa, to the African disability movement, and to the global disability movement. So I would describe Bent as a larger-than-life personality.
What is it that stands out most in what he taught you?
Well, I think that for me, Paula Pinto, I've been a research associate with the RTI since 2003, and throughout the years, I've worked with Bent mostly through Skype meetings and phone calls, but also I had the privilege to meet him once when he came to Canada, to York University, and he was awarded by York University an honorary degree. And we spent a few days together then. And I think what most impressed me was that his ability to follow with all details what was going on with a project that was already a worldwide project with so many different activities. And he was interested in every little detail, and he really reminded, and he helped us so many times to find the right direction. We used to have for a certain long period, we used to have regular meetings through Skype with him and all the regional officers of the RPI, each one in a different part of the world doing different projects. So there was a lot going on, and he was able to follow with every one of these projects. And when we had questions and we were wondering what to do next, he always had a very clever and a very insightful, but also very sensitive advice to give us. And I could really feel that he was in touch with the reality of life of people with disabilities in different regions of the world. He knew about them, he knew about their struggles, and he understood them. And he was very insightful, really, in helping finding the best way to continue to develop the DRPI project. So he was an inspiration for me personally, I think to all of us, but he was really an inspiration also because he was so graceful and so kind. He was also a very nice person to be around. And he had also a very good humor, which is always something important also when we're dealing with whatever subject in our lives, I suppose. And so he really was an extraordinary person.
So what will DRPI do to keep the legacy that he began in motion?
I could probably kind of answer sort of that. This is Paula Hearn, the project coordinator for DRPI. I think one of the things that Banks brought to DRPI and also brought individually to myself, and I'm sure to many others in this call, his leadership and his ability to be, a trailblazer in the disability movement. To always be thinking forward and thinking about the progressive realization of disability rights. He spent so much time over his life from what I know is of being a leader in the movement, from his time as a minister in Sweden, and then his time as Special Rapporteur on Disability of the Commission for Social Development for about 8 years, I think, from 1994 to 2002, and then started questioning around what is what can we do to monitor? So during the time when standards and policies were starting to be developed and emerging, he started questioning, okay, that's that's great, but what do we do to monitor those? And he was always thinking forward. And of course, that was, well, sometime before the convention had even come into place and the birth of DRPI itself, along with Professor Marcia Ryu, which was establishing a monitoring system globally. So I think something that we can do in his legacy and to push forward is to always be thinking what's next and how do we achieve the full realization of rights being met for people with disabilities and to not stay still or stagnant in one place in the movement, but keep thinking how do we improve and how do we achieve the greatest we can.
So if you could send any message to the next generation of disability leaders to inspire and to lead as he did, what would you say?
So in the first place, I would say that Frank had a great respect for other people in a professional and personal way as a so experienced leader with so many years of work behind him. He had a great respect for young colleagues, and it was my first job when I met Banks and when I started working for DRPI, and all my ideas, all my efforts, he was greeting with a big respect, and not only big respect, but providing really good feedback and taking my thoughts and ideas into account and really trying to work around them and to help me to develop it further. So this is, I would certainly say, characteristic which every true leader has to have, that has a feeling when and how to help and provide assistance and guidance to others, not only to push forward and to insist on his own idea, experience, and expertise, but also to recognize it and to build it in others and to really try to pass on the knowledge further.
I'd like to thank you all for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
WalkSafe is a free service provided for all students, faculty, employees, and visitors at the University of Windsor. It is a student staff volunteer program designed to help people get to their vehicle, home, apartment, or residence on or off campus at night. WalkSafe was designed to provide additional safety to the university community in cooperation with campus community police. All you need to do is dial 0 from any university phone and ask for WalkSafe or extension 3504. WalkSafe, not alone.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. This is a special tribute episode to disability rights advocate Bent Lindquist. Earlier in our show, we heard from Paula Pinto, Paula Hearn, Rados Karavica, and Dag Wakini from Disability Rights Promotion International. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Dr. Marcia Ryu from DRPI. So, what can you tell me about Ben as a man, the experiences you shared with him?
Well, I knew Mr. Lindquist for a very long time. We first met when we were both giving talks on the same platform to the World Bank, or to the UN, many years ago. And we immediately could feel that spark between us in terms of our commitment and our dedication and our determination. I'm giving this interview in Sorrel because he was my co-director for Disability Rights Promotion International. He was my colleague and he was truly my friend. And on every occasion, I felt I could call Banks and say, is this the way to go or is that the way to go? And his compass was always righted. He always understood the reason and the rationale and the way forward for us to understand and look at social justice.
So
I think he had a singular influence on disability in the 20th century and well into the 21st century. His contribution is so profound that it's hard to sometimes even recognize the pieces that made him so important as a leader in our movement. It wasn't because he had a disability that his contribution was so profound. It was because he understood social justice in a way that he was able to put it in practice in all the many different lives he had. And he did have many different lives. He was a teacher, a politician, an advocate, a UN Special Rapporteur on Disability, a father, a husband, a jazz musician. He was all of those things. So he wasn't one thing, he was many things. And in all of them, he could see the path towards social justice. He recognized so clearly and unfailingly that the voices of people with disabilities were the voices we needed to hear. And what was said by those voices had to be the only agenda in the way in which we address the denial of rights and exclusion. And he never bent in his response to make those voices heard. And I've worked all over the world. I have never met anybody who was so clear and so determined that our agenda had to come from people with disabilities themselves.
So what will DRPI be doing to keep his legacy in motion?
Oh, that's a very hard question to answer, because you can never follow those great leaders. You learn from people and you move forward, and I will do that. Both the famous people around the world and average people he met on his journey, he had a profound influence on every one of those people and an impact on those people. And I was one of those people who was lucky enough to work so closely with him for nearly 20 years. I think what we have to do is move forward in terms of the agenda that he was so careful to outline for us. We need to make sure that we continue to hear in every action we take our voices and the voices of people with disabilities. We need to have those voices as our direction. And we can't ever stop listening. It's so easy to become bureaucratized around disability while we've got, 200,000 kids who go to inclusive schools, which means nothing. What we have to do is say to the children, are you learning anything here? Or are you being bullied? Are you learning something? What's happening? What is it that you can tell us about going to school? What is it that you can tell us about the bus system? What is it that you can tell us about what dignified housing means? It's not just getting a roof over your head. It's dignified housing. And that's what Mr. Lindquist taught us all, I think. And it's his complete commitment to social justice. And I think we have to honor his memory by working determinedly to gain the justice he so believed, and to hear those voices.
So if you could send any message to the generation of leaders that are up and coming to inspire and to lead as he did, what would you tell them?
I think I'd tell them to think about what social justice means, what it means to really include all people, including people with disabilities, and to listen to people. If we want to know what poverty is, we need to listen to people who are poor and hear what they say it is. If we want to know what housing with dignity is, we need to ask people themselves what that is. It will be different for different people. And if we want to arrive at that, if we want to travel down the road of justice and we want to arrive at a place where there is social justice, I think we really need to keep asking people how they would define those things that are part of their lives.
What would you say is the greatest thing that Mr. Lindquist achieved in his career?
There probably would be several, I think. So one was he started the organization. He very much worked on this, and he started the International Disability Organization. And I think that was a very, very important move. It was the creation of Disabled Persons International, the creation of the World Blind Union, the creation of the World Deaf Union, the creation of the World Union of Users and Survivors of Psychiatry. And he recognized that to have power, these groups needed to have a space and a place where they could talk to each other internationally, not just in their own location, but could recognize the similarity of their experiences in all of the countries around the world. And that was very important. And then with IDA, with DPI, which is Disabled Persons International, he pulled those groups together. That was profound when he did that. I think also when he became the UN Special Rapporteur on Disability, and it would be hard to imagine that we will ever have another UN Rapporteur on Disability who will be as influential as he was. He went around the world and he talked to people. He talked to the people who were opposed to disability rights. He talked to the people who were together with disability rights, who understood them. He talked to people in their own communities, and he talked to people who were running government. That's profound. Not many people do that, and he did that. And you know, I travel a lot, and people are always remembering Mr. Lindquist. Where's Mr. Lindquist? What's Mr. Lindquist doing now? How is he moving forward? So people are looking for his legacy and looking for how we keep making the incredible difference that he made when he was in the movements, and when he was in the government of Sweden, and then when he was the UN Special Rapporteur. I have to say, I think he was also central to us having a convention on the rights of people with disabilities. He was one of the first people to even suggest that, and he certainly worked through it with many other people as a team, but he was very much a leader in making sure we got that UN convention.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Great.
The sad truth, my friends, is when any life is lost, something unique and wonderful is just gone from the world, but not really gone. If we, the people who remain, can take it upon ourselves to say, this person's life, this person's legacy was so incredible that we need to keep the fire alive. In Bent's lifetime, he changed more than most people could ever even imagine. But the question is not just how much did he achieve during his time here on planet Earth. The question is, will we remember his words? Will we keep the strength that he inspired in us? Fact is, I only had the pleasure of interviewing him that one time. But he's one of those few interviews that will forever serve to change me as a person. In recognizing that one man with just a commitment and a belief that the world could be a better place could do all that he did, it's a remarkable gift. And honestly, I'm grateful that Bent's colleagues are going to keep the work alive, keep it strong. The simple fact is, true heroes are never really gone, because what they leave in each of us is the strength, the wisdom, the courage, and the knowledge to know that the world has to be better, and each of us has to take some small responsibility in that. We might not see it as changing the world, but take, for example, just being respectful towards a person with a disability or keeping an open mind. When you encounter them, you might be the first person who ever supported their right to access and to be there. But recognizing that there's one is also the recognition there could be others. And for them, that can be a game changer. Fact is, people with hearts like Bent's, they're a very rare breed. Because the work is so much a part of who they are. I was fortunate to hear about all the diverse areas of his life. And really, they all play off each other. If he was strong in one area, he could carry that to another. If he was feeling good about the work he had accomplished in one area of disability life, odds are that would have some impact on his outlook on other matters. And that's the great gift of disability life, taking the strength that we learn from others and sharing it. Strengthening communities. You might only change one individual life at a time, but you don't know who they're going to change and how. Bent's gift is incalculable. He spoke some of the world's greatest leaders, and he made real change. Why? Because he believed the world could be a better place. And now we must all make that promise to say, we will not forget you, sir. We will not allow what you gave a lifetime to simply to fall away by the wayside. His legacy is in everyone who believes that we can do better, that we are stronger as a people than we realize. Disability rights are human rights. In some ways, he asked only for the same considerations, the same equality that we expect out of life. And knowing that you can ask for that sort of respect, that sort of dignity, and actually achieve it sets a precedent we must all remember. We must all recognize the fact that it's easy to be lackluster or to let things fall away, to not care in a world that seems so built upon the ideas of looking out for our own needs and accumulating more wealth, more perceived power. It's nice to hear of a man who gave his life in the service of others. He served with dignity and with strength. He really did change the world. Now the question becomes, what are we going to do with the world he gave us? What are we going to do with the legacy that he left behind? Are we going to say, yeah, it was nice, but it doesn't really stack up? Or are we going to say, he gave us the tools we need, the stepping stones to go forward, to create, to have hope, to create social justice. I can't, for the life of me, in a few minutes, sum up the value of a man's life, nor would I attempt to try. But I can tell you, he had a profound impact on me when I talked to him. I was so inspired by his words. He gave me a decade-by-decade look at how disability rights changing and expanding. And when Marcia mentioned that he spoke to people who were against disability rights, I was left with a question. Who in the world would actually be against that? And how did this great man change their hearts and minds? What was it that gave him such a rare and special gift to be able to actually reach the hearts and minds of the people? My best guess, he simply did it because it needed doing, because he wanted to live in a world of equality. And this I vow, his light will never cease to shine. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal, so get on out there and have yourselves a good one. You've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.